ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अद्युतानं अधर्मशं तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम् परित्राणाय साधुना धर्म संस्थापनार्थाय शम्भवामि युगे युगे शम्भवामि युगे युगे हरेर्नाम हरेर्नाम हरेर्नामैव केवलम् कलौ नास्त्येव 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 गतिरन्यथा Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, welcome to the weekly Krishna Consciousness Program. And once again, I would like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coltsville Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28. There every Sundays we hold very special programs starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by aarti of their lordships at 12:30. And then we have a discourse on philosophy of Krishna consciousness based on Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we have Guru Puja of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we finish the day's program with Vegetarian Feast at 2:30. Please come along, join us, and experience Krishna consciousness for yourself. I'll continue with the Ramayana episode. Last week I left where the place where Ram went after the golden deer, followed by Lakshman at the instigation of Sita. And finding an opportunity, Ravan, dressed as a sannyasi, comes up to the ashram. And what happens next? Sita asked this sannyasi about where he had come from and why he was traversing the Dandakarna forest alone, taking this as the field opportunity to impress her. Ravan began to speak, "Oh, beautiful goddess, I hail from a place that is the new heaven on earth. No article of pleasure is unavailable there. In fact, what is not there is Amravati, the divine city of the demigods, or in Bhogavati, the mystical city of the Nagas, is available there. This is the city of gold, Lanka. The world is yet to see a more dynamic and charismatic leader than Lankeshwar, Ravan. He is the perfect blend of handsome features and good qualities. Being born to the race of Lord Brahma, he is learned and has in-depth knowledge of Vedic scriptures, is intellectually astute and has a physique beyond compare. For him, lifting Mount Kailas, the abode of Lord Shiva, takes the same amount of energy as it takes a child to pluck a mushroom. He's so magnanimous in his dealings that gods pour into his palace to earn his grace and protection. In fact, Brahma is so impressed with his meritorious austerities that he has conferred him deathlessness as a special case. And Shiva has such a high regard for him that he bestowed on him a special sword known as Chandrahas. And of course, he is the world-renowned for traversing in his celestial pushback of Vimana, which he had snatched from his brother, Kuber. Many actually have begun to consider Ravan to be more glorious than the Holy Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh. But together, put together, and why not, when even the sun and the moon obey his will, and the Navagrahas are his domains. Naturally, the one who has Indra and Varuna as his watchman has to be the most powerful man in the universe. Sita was taken aback by his answer. She has asked him where he has come from, and he had gone on to describe in such a great detail the glories of the demon king. His behavior clearly annoyed Sita, and she questioned him further. Aren't you an ascetic in pursuit of liberation? Why would you then associate with demons completely immersed in the bodily concept of life? You are supposed to shun physical needs and focus on Atmagyan, the needs of the soul. Instead of seeking the company of divine souls that reside in the forest, you chose to stay in the company of men of lower character who steal from their brothers and womanize. Don't you have any consciousness that directs you to choose the right company? The ascetic smiled at her question. The Rakshas are not as bad as you opinion of Sita. In fact, the world will have to change its opinions about the Rakshas race. There is no other alternative now. They will soon be ruling the universe. Ha ha ha. Sita resorted to instinctively. No, not as long as my Lord Ram is around. He has vowed to destroy the sinful demons that obstruct the spiritual practices of the great sages. Ha ha ha, the shoulder sage mocked her. If humans had the capacity to destroy the asuras, then surely rabbits would be killing elephants and deer would begin attacking lions. Sita began to get angry now. Why is this ascetic so supportive of demons? Perhaps you haven't heard of how easily Ram killed colossal demon Virat, or perhaps you are ignorant of the meska of Kardushan and their 14,000 asuras soldiers. Dharma can never really be overpowered. Dharma can never be overpowered. It may seem that adharma is worth winning, but it does not last for long. the sannyasi was enraged now. This woman was speaking beyond her jurisdiction. She had to be silenced. Virat, Kara, and the others were the punies, demons still suckling their mothers. You have no idea of the might of Ravan. I haven't told you about the power of his 20 hands. Just by swiftly moving them, he can rustle up a tornado. What can scrawny humans do to him? Seeing his race, Sita realized that he was strongly attached to the Adharma despite being a sannyasi. She requested him to smash his wrong attachment. You are speaking so highly about the power of Ravan. Where was his power when the 1,000 armed Katriva Veer Arjun arrested him and threw him in the prison house? Don't underestimate the power of dharmic person. The same Kartikeya Arjun, 1,000 hands were cut off by dharmic Parshuram using a tiny battle axe. And for your information, my husband Ram has subdued even Parshuram in a duel. She had pressed his wrong neck. She was going mad in anger. How could she insult him so badly? Why did she remind him of his greatest defeat? Who does she think she is? Who does she think her Ram is? Mentally, he calculated the distance between the location of Mari's voice, which indicated the approximate time Ram would take to return. It was time for action now. Time to show this arrogant human who he really was. Time to show the world that the tides had shifted, and that amid the shifting of tides, Dharma could not stand in front of the power of Adharma. Face contorted in extreme anger, he ripped apart the saffron shawl and that covered his torso, revealing the gash bestowed on him by Airavatthas. Screaming in anger, he kicked the plate of fruit and roots in front of him, scattering them all over the room. He pulled out the hairband he had let loose his hair. He grabbed the sannyasi staff and broke it into two on his thigh. Stumps began to emerge from his sides, and soon 20 robots' arms manifested. Gone was the simple saffron tire of sannyasi. In his place stood a king dressed in costly silk and expensive jewelry. 10 heads mounted with diamond-studded gold crowns popped out of his shoulders. Hanging from his waist was the shiny bejeweled hilt of the Chakravarti sword. You have invited calamity, O foolish human. Know me to be the very Ravan you just insulted. The only reason you are still alive is because you are a human. I would have sliced the tongue had it not been anyone else in your place. You claim the greatness of a man who lives like an insect. Ravan hollered with anger. The next instant he realized that he had come not to fight with her, but to win her over. Within moments his tone changed and so did his approach. Don't be upset with me. Oh, goddess of beauty, one look at me and you will certainly forget your mortal husband. No human has been able to resist my tantalizing charm. I invite you to embrace me and accept the world of pleasures. After seeing you, I have lost interest in all my wives. Come, oh beautiful maiden, come with me to the golden city of dreams. The compound walls of my city are made of silver, and the palaces are made of gold. From the moment you step into my palace, 5,000 women will serve you. and attend to you every to your every bid and call. This astute forest life is not meant for a delicate damsel like you. What can Ram give you? Nothing except suffering and sorrow. The one who accuses us, one who comes to the whims of a woman and relinquishes his kingdom without putting up a fight, how will such a person protect you? He is a loser. He is an unfit husband. Give up his this girly Ram and accept me. I will keep you in the utmost luxury. All the super rare extravagance and grandeur of the universes will be at your feet. As soon as you take my hand, Ravan extended his hand towards Sita, gently smiling to seduce her to submission. Disgusted by even the thought of what he was trying to imply, Sita became violently angry with him. "You fool! You seeking me is like a dog seeking the leftovers of a sacred yajna, knowing that life is as transition as the dewdrop on a grass. Why would I disregard a life of purity in search of vain pleasures? My husband is a lion-like man. In seeking me, you are like a jackal looking at lioness. Your desire to touch me is like a foolhardy man venturing into the project of extracting the teeth of a lion or the fangs of a venomous serpent. It is easier to drink the halal poison and hope to survive than to kidnap the wife of Ram and hope to live. Touching me is like removing a particle of dirt from your eyes with a needle, or like licking a sharp sword. Ravan, don't try to cross the ocean with a stone tied around your neck. You will drown. Don't try to hold glowing fire in your clothes. You will burn. Ram is like nectar. You are like bitter juice. Ram is like gold and you are like lead. Ram is an elephant and you are like a cat. Ram is like Garuda and you are like a crow. Ram is like sandalwood paste and you are like muck. Ram is like a peacock and you are like a seagull. Don't make the mistake of touching me. A man who eats a fly by mistake will at the most vomit it out. But if a man intakes a poor particle of diamond, thinking it to be a morsel of rice, his intestines will be ripped apart. Similarly, do not overestimate your capacity to handle me. I am too deadly for you to handle. As she spoke these words to keep Ravan engaged in conversation, she was constantly looking toward the forest, hoping for her saviors to appear at any moment. Despite the brave facade, she was trembling in fear. But more than the fear, it was the pangs of separation from Ram that worried her. "Oh, foolish woman, you are comparing me with Ram. I can twist him around my little finger. You are fortunate that I have personally come to ask you for your hand. Since you do not understand the value of my words, I will show you the power of my arms." Ravan laughed and forcibly tugged at Sita, grabbing her hands. Sita was aghast that he was actually touching her. She began to wriggle and tried to free her hands from his grip. When she realized that her strength wouldn't be enough, she used his weakness, a weakness of all warriors have insult. "Ravan, if you are as strong as you claim, why don't you wait and fight my husband fair and square? Why are you instead trying to show a woman your powers by sending a fake golden deer? You lured my husband away from me, and yet you claim to be powerful. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? How can you call yourself a warrior if this is the competence you have?" Ravan laughed loudly. I will tell you why I am not fighting with them directly. They are tiny human beings, and it is an insult to my Herculean soldiers to battle against them. It's below my dignity. Besides, the word deceit doesn't exist in my dictionary. I call it strategy. When anything valuable has to be obtained, success is not in how you obtain it, but rather in whether you obtain it. And what in this world is more valuable than your beautiful self? The next moment he lifted her up and carried her out of the cottage. Sita screamed at the top of her lungs, hoping to catch her husband's ear. She had no idea where Ram was. Her scream was so loud that it scared all the birds in the vicinity, so much that they fluttered out of the trees. She trembled like a leaf in the wind. She wriggled, trying to loosen Ravan's grip, but her strength was insignificant in comparison to her captive's 1,000 elephant power. As he made his way out of the cottage, this aerial charioteer descended smoothly. As everything was timed to perfection, the driver managed to park it right in front of Ravan so that he had to simply step in, and they were in flight. When Sita realized what was happening, she became hysterical. Where was he taking her? She had no idea where they were headed. It dawned on Sita that she was in the clutches of a mighty demon king who had mystical powers beyond human comprehension. She began to look down and besiege the animals, plants, and birds, helplessly witnessing her abduction. If this were an ordinary circumstance, it would have been a pleasure to fly in the sky, as this was her first flight. But far from enjoying the ride, Sita was hysterical, and nothing, no matter how beautiful, appealed to her. She first besieged the plants, but on realizing that they could report to Ram only if he came to them, she appealed to the forest deities. Then again, reasoning that the deities won't necessarily go into the deeper parts of the jungle to find Ram, she appealed to the animals. But even they might not be able to spot Ram fast enough because of their vision being obstructed by the trees. So she appealed to the birds. Although she fervently appealed to all of them for help, they stood transfixed on the ground. None dared to move an inch. Only helpless tears rolled down their faces. Sita screamed out to an absent Ram and that Ravan had kidnapped her. Seeing everyone so numb, she tried to escape from the clutches of Ravan, but no effort was good enough. Ravan's grip was unrelenting. Finding herself in such a helpless situation, Sita began to review her immediate past. If only she hadn't been so mad with the desire of possessing that golden deer. If only she hadn't pestered Ram to bring it for her. If only she knew she wouldn't have been in this flight now. But then she remembered that at that time, the temptation to help the deer was so strong that she could think of nothing else but the magical animal. If only she hadn't been so unfair towards and ruthless with Lakshman, things would have been different and safe. But then, she was worried and concerned about Ram. Ram's safety was the only priority then. So the thought that he could be in danger upset her so much that she couldn't just think straight. She justified the whole Lakshman episode to herself by reasoning that she had to say something, just about anything at all, to get the rigid Lakshman into action. He did get into action, but that led to a totally unexpected consequences. If only she had faith in the institutions of Ram and Lakshman, on rewinding their words, she could now decipher that they had an inkling that something was wrong. Of course, at that time, she thought they were being too presumptuous, but now her predictions had left her extremely distraught. Her every move had been wrong, and every word had backfired. She knew that just as she was facing the consequences of her folly, Ravan would also have to face the after effect of this extremely foolish act. She was sure that Ravan's sins would come back to bite him, but she was also aware that the consequences of sins don't always manifest instantaneously. She had to think more clearly and quickly now to help Ram find her soon. Suddenly she spotted a beacon of hope. A smile of relief spread across her face when she saw the help she was so desperately seeking in his mail. Perched atop the mountain was her only hope. What was that? We'll hear next week.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna